On the line now, I have Sinead Moriarty. Good afternoon, Sinead.
Good afternoon. Hi.
I couldn't remember the name of that song for the life of me. First of all, congratulations. You've been shortlisted for 2 on Post Irish Book Awards this year.
Yeah, it's a real thrill because, you know, About Us is my 15th adult book, so that was lovely. But it's been really special that The New Girl, which is my first children's book, has also been nominated. So that's pretty exciting, I have to say. Yeah it's great.
It's fantastic. And just tell us a little bit about yourself. As you said there, you're a best-selling romance novelist. And
I've been doing this for nearly 20 years now. I've been published by Penguin. I write books sort of about families, you know, dealing with sort of bombs that have landed in their lives, like everything from grief to infertility to euthanasia. Just like to take kind of fairly serious issues and then build a story around it. I always try and put some humor into my books because I think life is full of darkness and light. I think humor gets us all through dark times. So, you know, there are sort of stories about families dealing with serious issues, but there's always, you know, light and dark. And then I just, about sort of 4 or 5 years ago, when I was seeing the really awful scenes of families escaping the war in Syria, I just kind of felt really compelled to write something about it, but I couldn't figure out how to write an adult novel. And I felt sort of very drawn to writing something for children. So it's been kind of a passion project, you know, it's taken me a long time to research. I've worked with the Irish Refugee Council, and it ended up being the book called The New Girl, and it's my first book for children. And I wrote it to promote compassion and kindness in children, and just to show them the power of compassion and empathy, and how, you know, just being kind to somebody can really help them to settle in. And it's about a little Syrian refugee girl who's 11, and she comes to Ireland, and she lands in a classroom. And a little Irish girl called Ruby is chosen by the teacher to look after her. But Ruby's raging because Ruby has a lot going on in her own life. She has a brother with disabilities, and she kind of loves him, but she also hates him because she feels he's ruined her family life. So it's about the fact that behind every closed door, everyone has their own little issues, and they develop this gorgeous friendship, and they end up helping each other. So really, you know, I wrote it just to try and, as I said, you know, get kids to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, look outside their own little bubble, and hopefully, you know, realise the power of kindness and friendship.
Yeah, because it's needed. It's quite a serious topic for a children's book, but as you say, you include humour in.
Yeah, and I always, you know, for the kids, I was very conscious of writing it with a lightness of touch. So, you know, her story is very real, but it's not going to, you know, all the kids who've read it have actually become really interested and want to know more, as opposed to sort of, you know, shocked.
Yeah.
They're really engaged, and there's fun, and there is kind of sweetness in the book as well. Yeah, very much so. It's a sweet story, really, about friendship.
Yeah, and so some young children in school can be quite cruel to each other sometimes. And
yeah, and I mean, I think being the new girl, whether you're from, you know, Syria or from, you know, down the road, being a new girl in a school is always, or a new kid, is always really hard. And it's always, you know, takes you a while to settle in. And yeah, kids can be cruel, and they don't realize often, I think, when they're young, that, you know, an offhand comment can really hurt somebody. And I suppose it's the book really is about showing the power of words, you know, the power of a cruel word, and the power of a kind word. And you know, that's really, it's amazing. They don't realize, I think, that sort of the power of what you say to somebody and how it can affect them. Yeah
So this book, The New Girl, it's a lesson in kindness, really. Is that what?
Yeah, and very much to get kids to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. I think, you know, if we can get to kids early and sort of open their hearts and minds to other things, you know, they hopefully will become, you know, maybe more empathetic adults. And a lot of schools have taken it on as a class novel, which I'm really pleased about. And, you know, it's opened up these amazing conversations within classes in primary schools, and in fact in first and second year as well, where, you know, it's opened up conversations about refugees and about the lives of others and about empathy and, you know, how, and about disability and all those kind of things. And I think it's really important. And, you know, kids spend so much time now on, you know, social media and TikTok and Instagram, and I just think it's really important that we make sure that kids continue to read, because it's the one time where they're quiet, and when you're reading, you have to use your own imagination to picture the people in the book. And I think that's really important, that we keep kids reading and just give them that quiet time and that time for their own imaginations, not to be bombarded with images, but to create their own images. So yeah, so there's so many things I want to do with this book, you know, and I'm planning lots more children's books as well as more adult books. So it's exciting. I must say, it's a whole new world for me, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, congratulations. It's fantastic. Now, you've been nominated for 2 on Post Irish Book Awards. What's the other one, Sinead?
So the other one is About Us, which is my adult novel, my 15th, as I said. And that is about couples therapy. So it's about 3 different couples at 3 different stages in their lives. So you have Orla and Paul are in the early 20s. They're just very much starting out on their relationship journey. Then you have Alice and Niall, who are in their early 40s. Big mortgage, 4 kids under the age of 10. They haven't slept, haven't had a good night's sleep in 10 years. She'd rather watch Netflix than have sex. He feels he doesn't know who she is anymore. And then you have Anne and Ken, who are in their mid-60s, and he's about to retire, and they've got empty nest syndrome, and she just doesn't really know what life holds, and she feels her life is gone, and her, there's no excitement or adventure in her life. They're living this very sort of mundane life, and so she's kind of freaking out about a sort of entering old age, sort of shuffling into old age, where she wants to dance into old age. She wants to do exciting things. He doesn't understand what's wrong with her. Sure, they have a great life. And so they all end up, their lives are slightly intertwined sort of by circumstance, and they all end up going to see the same therapist. And it's really about relationships and how, you know, the ebbs and flows over the years of relationships, how they change, how people change within a relationship at different times, maybe a different pace. And it's about, can you work back and figure out how to find each other again, or do you need to call it a day? So there's lots of fun, there's lots of pathos, there's lots of, I think people have said, there's lots of nodding going, oh yeah, I felt this, I know this feeling. And there's something for everybody, because the couples are all at completely different stages of their lives. So yeah, I had a really interesting time researching it. There's loads of research into couples therapy, and I'm really happy. You know, it's a very honest and truthful and raw look into relationships. And you know, often through the 3 couples, there's always one person in the couple who pushes them to go to relationships, but often the person who pushed for the couple's therapy is a bit surprised by what they get when their partner opens up. So it's, you know, there's lots of sort of surprising moments in it as well.
So 2 completely different books, and both sound very, very interesting. And it's interesting, I interview parent line a lot, and I'd say you've probably covered a lot of the stuff I talk about.
Well, I'd say so, you know, because, you know, like, I think certainly for, let's say, Alice and Niall, particularly there in the throes of trying to raise 3 kids, and they just don't have any time for each other. They've kind of lost their way, and he sort of hides out in work a lot because when he goes home, it's complete chaos, and she has given up her job to be a full-time mum, because her own mum worked full time, and she always wanted to be that sort of aga mum, you know, the mum who comes home with a scone, bacon in the oven. But it hasn't worked out like that at all, because she's completely exhausted all the time, and you know, she finds full time motherhood not quite as fulfilling as she hoped, and she's survives on coffee and sugar, and she's kind of lost her waist and lost her way, and she's just kind of unhappy, and she doesn't feel attractive anymore, so she doesn't feel sexy, and you know, she doesn't want to go out because she's too tired to stay out past midnight, and just now doesn't understand where it's kind of fun loving party sexy wife is gone. And so they're both lost, and I think a lot of people in so many relationships with young kids feel that, you know, you do kind of lose your way, and she puts the kids first all the time, and he finds that frustrating, he misses chatting to her, but she's too tired when he comes home from work, she wants to go to bed. And again, then you had sort of, you know, Anne and Ken, who the kids have left, and Anne doesn't know what her purpose is anymore, and he's about to retire, and he's nervous about retiring, he doesn't know how he's going to fill his days, and they're nervous about sort of just facing each other all day long. The days are going to be long, how are they going to fill them? And they both want very different things from this sort of latter stage of their lives, and they struggle to reconnect. And it's just, you know, I suppose it's, I just think it's really interesting, and it's just true to life. You know, all relationships develop at different stages and different pace, and different people develop in different ways and change, you know. It's just interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, there's always problems in relationships, and people make mistakes, and you learn from your mistakes. And
absolutely. Yeah, and can you forgive and forget, or are you going to carry that sort of grudge with you? So, yeah, I mean, I think relationships with people are fascinating. So, you know, people often say, oh, where do you get your ideas from? But sure, people are fascinating, and life is fascinating. And as they always say, it's a cliche, but it's true. Fact is stranger than fiction. So never short of ideas so far, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy talking to people. People can be very, very interesting. So the new girl, what's the name of the other one, Sinead?
About Us.
About Us.
Adult.
So, and yeah, they're available in all bookshops.
That's, yeah, that's absolutely
brilliant. Now, I hope I'm going to go away completely now from your writing, because I'm very interested in, you are very vocal about your struggle with rheumatoid arthritis. I actually know two people. I know one guy who has it, and it's very debilitating. And there's another friend of mine now getting tested for it, and it's very hard on them both. So how do you cope, Sinead?
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm nearly 6 years into my diagnosis now. I really struggled in the beginning. I had a very aggressive form, and it took nearly a year to get it under control. And I really struggled. You know, I was on high doses of everything: methotrexate, which is a chemotherapy drug. I was on steroids. I was on biological injections. But the good news is, they did eventually get it under control, and I'm off steroids. I'm off methotrexate, and I just inject myself every couple of weeks. I don't even think about it, and it doesn't affect my life anymore. But the first year is really difficult. It's just getting it under control is the hard part, and then you just manage it, and then you get your life back. But you know, when you have a bad flare up, the pain is acute.
Yes,
it's kind of an understatement, and it's very frightening, because you know, 6 years ago my kids were still very young, and I was terrified. I thought, oh my God, is this it? Like, am I going to be in permanent pain? Am I going to be able to, you know, do all the things that I want to do with them? You know, there were days where I couldn't walk, there were days where I couldn't get out of bed. But, you know, the drugs do work. They just have to try and find the right balance. And then, you know, when you get it under control, you know, I don't want to frighten anybody, but when you get it under control, you do get your life back. I don't even think about it anymore. But for that first year, it did consume me. So I think the most important thing for anybody recently diagnosed is go and see a rheumatologist, a good one. The first rheumatologist I saw was a very cold man. He was very, you know, he had no empathy, speaking of empathy. I felt worse every time I saw him. So eventually, when I sort of came out of the fog, I went to see another rheumatologist who was kind and optimistic and encouraging, and it was like night and day. So I would certainly say to anybody, make sure that you find the right person for you, because it's a long-term relationship. You're going to be seeing them possibly for the rest of your life, and you have to be with the right person. I think you have to be with somebody who's positive and optimistic, and you know, is obviously very good at their job, but they need empathy, you know. And so most important things I would say are, you know, get the right rheumatologist. Don't panic if the first treatment doesn't work. They will figure it out for you. There's all kinds of new drugs constantly coming on the market with less and less side effects, so you know, you will get your life back. But it is frightening. It's really frightening in the beginning.
And it's very true what you say there, because some people would be nervous about questioning or a doctor, you know, or a professor. But as you say, change. Go and get somebody who's going to be sympathetic to you and positive, as you say.
Yeah, because there's plenty of good rheumatologists out there. You don't have to stick with one that is, you know, making your life worse. They're supposed to help you. So yeah, that's a big thing. But when you're really sick, you can't really see the wood for the trees. It took me a while to sort of get the sort of, I suppose, wherewithal to go, hang on a second, I'm not staying here. This is ridiculous, you know. So, I mean, the earlier you can do that, the better, I think. But in fairness, most of them are lovely, you know.
Yeah,
so
it's just, yeah. And did you have trouble with medication? Did finding a medication that you weren't getting side effects from? I know one chap who.
The methotrexate is a very strong drug, and when you're on high dose, it makes you feel nauseous all the time. So that was hard to stomach. But again, it's little tricks like, you know, the pharmacist said to me, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't take it all in one go. You should divide it up over the day. Like, that made a huge difference, because I used to feel nauseous for like 4 days, and then I only felt nauseous for maybe a day or two. Again, you know, all little tricks of the trade. Divide up your medicine over the day. Don't take it all in one go. And again, you know, some people don't react well to certain drugs, and they just have to figure out which one suits you. But there are a lot of options, I would say, so don't worry. You know, your rheumatologist will figure it out. And, you know, touch wood, I don't have any side effects from the injections I'm on now. I honestly don't even think about it anymore. And that's such a lovely place to be from having been consumed by it all the time. I now don't even think about it. So, you know, I would hope to try and be positive for anyone listening who's been diagnosed. You know, you'll get there, don't worry. You will. You'll get it under control.
Well, that's fantastic, and thanks for that. I know people are listening in, and they'd be glad to hear that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
There is, yeah.
But listen, Sinead, fantastic, the two books, About Us and The New Girl. Fantastic books and very, very interesting, and as you say, true to life. What's next on the agenda, or do you even think that far ahead?
Yeah, no, I'm always working ahead. I think it's very important to always be working ahead. So I'm just doing some final edits on my new adult book, which is going to be about blended families. So it's like two people who are separated who meet and come together and fall in love, but they bring their children into the new relationship, which causes absolute mayhem. I'm very interested in that because, you know, what's a normal family anymore? It's lots of, you know, combined families and blended families now. So that's the new one, and I'm working on a new children's book about homelessness. So, yeah, so busy doing that and loving it, you know, really enjoying the research, really enjoying the writing. So long may it last.
Yeah, and research, life is a learning curve, really, when you're researching different topics. You learn a lot yourself.
Yeah, I love that. I love the research. And I just think, you know, it's amazing to live in a country like Ireland where you might just mention something to somebody and they'll go, oh, sure, I know someone who knows someone. And then immediately you've got sort of five experts' numbers, you know, emailed to you. So it's wonderful. And I find I do a lot of research before I meet the expert. And then so by the time I actually meet the expert in the subject, I have, you know, a fair handle on the subject matter, so I can ask them, you know, the really probing questions. So I love the research, as you say. You learn so much, and I think it's always important to be learning and to be curious. And so that's one of the parts I love so much about it. But actually, sometimes you have to kind of stop yourself and go, okay, I have to write now. I have to stop researching, and I have to actually get down to the writing now. But as you say, like it's fascinating to always be learning. I love that part.
Yeah. So About Us and The New Girl, fantastic. It sounds very interesting, and a couple of my grandchildren, my granddaughters in particular, are avid readers. So I might,
oh, brilliant!
You know, I might go out and get that book for them, The New Girls, because it sounds.
Oh, I hope you do. I hope they'll like it. I think they will. I've had great feedback from kids. Really, really gorgeous. Kids are great as well because they're so honest.
Yeah.
But it's been really positive. So thank God. Long may it last.
And what sort of age group would The New Girl be?
From 8 to 14. Yeah.
Great. Listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Sinead. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Not really, just, you know, like if any parents are listening, encourage your kids to read. I've got three teenagers now, and, you know, they get so much harder to keep them reading as they get older. So
yeah.
I think if we can try and develop the reading habit early, it will hopefully stay with them and come back, you know, once they get mobile phones. You
yeah.
do lose them for a while, but I think they'll come back. So, yeah, like, listen, let's just keep kids reading, and, you know, any mothers out there who want something really engaging and fun to read, I think you'll enjoy About Us. And yeah, listen, just let's keep reading. We're an amazing country of readers, so let's not lose
yeah.
that.
And would you be now a hard copy book reader, or would you Kindle, or are you not pushed? By?
Both, actually. Yeah, I do. I read both. I run the book club for Easton, so I read a lot. I suppose I read a lot of physical books. I get sent the long list in the post. But I read quite a lot online. On my Kindle as well. Because a lot of the time we're reading ahead and some of the books haven't been published, so I would read sort of the PDF format. So yes, yeah, so I'm always reading, always learning, and, you know, sure, isn't that the best job in the world?
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, listen, Sinead, thanks very much for taking the call.
Pleasure, thanks so much.
Thank you. Right, that was Sinead Moriarty there, a novelist, and as we said, the book The New Girl sounds great for young people, and the other one, About Us, is talks about life and the problems it can throw up to you.